It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Friday. We made it to the end of the week. He is Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. Hope you're having a fantastic beginning to your day. JoJo, what's up?
Can you hear?
Huh?
Can you hear?
Huh?
Oh, you got me. How was it last night, Pumpkin?
It was good, man. Look, I got to tell you, that Joe Rex Road, I mean, he is just a hoot. I mean, he shows up in his skinny jeans, and he's got his T-shirt on. He's got eye black on. His son is, like, not wanting to even acknowledge him, but he was ready to go. I mean, he painted fingernails. Just he
had it all going on.
He was ready. I'm impressed he made it to the show today. I'm impressed I made it to the – actually, it wasn't that bad. It's just the Metallica is loud. I mean, that's for sure.
Okay.
Voice is okay, though, but – I got to tell you, that band, they've been around for, what, 30-something years? I mean, they still bring it every time. I mean, they're fantastic.
Oh, I'm sure. Did everybody go crazy for Enter Sandman?
Well, I don't want to spoil too much how this works is there's two shows, right?
Okay.
The set lists are different each night. So there are some songs that they did not play last night, but they will play Saturday.
Hold up.
Yes.
They did not play that song?
They did not. They'll play it tomorrow.
Okay. I have a problem with that.
But no, okay.
Because I ain't going to Saturday night show.
You have a problem if you're not going to both shows. I think it's brilliant because it basically makes you buy tickets to two shows.
No, I'm not. I want to see that show is the most important show that I'm at. I want to hear Enter Sandman.
I get it.
That's like one time when Tommy Two Tone played here in town and he didn't sing
Jenny.
Yeah, I'm like, why?
Clapton didn't do Layla one time.
Why the hell am I here?
Sure.
Black Crowes didn't do one of their main song. I forget what it
is. Hard to Handle.
Yeah, they didn't play that one time because he didn't want to. I'd want my money back.
No, I mean, but they tell you going in how this is going to work. You're just,
but it's the biggest, most massive song they've ever had.
I agree, but it's like I like the set. I'm good with it. I'm fine with it.
It's like going to see. Are you going Saturday night?
Yeah, I mean that's why I'm fine with it.
That's why you're fine with it. It's like going to see Vanilla Ice.
Hey, I tried to take you last night.
The weather was nice. I regretted it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It was really.
You know what? I'm going to give a shout out to who went with me because I was really shocked when they said yes. Our good friend Katie Myers went and rocked out to Metallica last night for the first time in her life.
I was going to say Brian Callahan, but I guess I've been wrong.
No, we're not buddies.
Okay.
I mean, he's fine, but we're not buddies.
Okay. All right. Well, good. Well, I'm glad you had fun. Now, our thing is, we were worried that you were not going to show up this morning, which was our fault.
I kind of did that on purpose. I was kind of like, I was running a little behind this morning, and I did the dumb thing where I needed gas, and I waited, and all that stuff.
Yes.
But I was like, you know what? I'm going to make them think that I'm just like passed out somewhere.
We were thinking.
I really did. I was like, oh, no. Does somebody need to call him or just pin him somewhere?
And the only one with any kind of sense is Ian. He's like, should we call him? And I was like, I don't want to wake him up if he's not going to make it.
Here's the thing. You have my location.
I didn't even think about it.
I
didn't even look at that. I'm sorry. I did not. Yeah, so.
No, but it was fine. And, like, I mean, I had 3 beers, like, total.
Okay.
You know, so I was not rocking it. Now, tomorrow night might be a little bit of a different story, but.
Right.
You know, Dr. Crane, get the Uber ready.
Tipping it back.
Well, I mean, we were worried, and Nick, Dr. Crane's like, what are we going to do? I was like, cue up McClain, Brett Kern, Wyshynski, whoever else we've had on for the last 9 months. Now, you did. I think you've got a great question today, one that I've argued with people for years about, and the question is.
Oh, we're going right to it. So here's the question of the day. When you go to a concert, do you listen to the band or the artist that you're going to see on the way to the concert? I do. I've just like yesterday when I left here, I was listening to Metallica and Pantera all afternoon, just getting hype. Pantera was really good too, by the way. They opened for Metallica. So I do. So that's the question. Do you listen to the band or artist that you're going to see on the way to the concert?
I am a no.
You say
I
no.
I do not listen to the band. if I'm going to the concert. I don't do it. And there's no right or wrong, and I don't know why I don't. I just don't do it. I just want to get fired up because it's the anticipation. It's like going to see Rick Springfield, listen to Jesse's Girl. I'm like, I'd love to see him do it when I get there. So we're 50-50 on this. You say yes, I say no.
Dr. Crane, what about you?
I've been guilty of doing so, but I try not to.
Okay.
But why not?
Well, just because, like, if you're going to hear that music already, then you're just already, like, why are you paying money to see them? Like, it's on the phone. So I think you get a whole different atmosphere. Like, prime example, I want to see Luke Combs at Nissan Stadium. Hearing it live is 10 times better than hearing it on a Spotify.
Okay.
So that's why I don't listen to it. If I had to choose, I'd say no. But I've been guilty of doing it.
I'll say this to that point. If you go see a band or an artist and the recording is better than the live show, then they got a problem.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, okay.
Like if the studio album is better than seeing them live, then that's a massive problem.
How'd they sound last night?
Great. I mean, I thought they were fantastic. Good. I mean, James Hetfield, 61 years old. Lars Ulrich is 61 years old. And I know age is but a number, but like you would think they're still in their 30s. I mean, they've had some party time over the years, but like they
they
look it, but I mean they didn't miss a note. I mean they were great.
Well,
there was a time where so what was cool is the whole stage was in the round, and they basically had like I guess four drum sets because Lars started on one part of the stage, did a few songs, that drum set would lower, then another one would come up on, you know, another part of the stage, he'd go to that one. So he kept like moving around, and then the other guys would kind of walk around the whole thing, but they kept moving the drum set so he could be, you know, facing different parts of the audience, and the drum set rotated, which was really cool. But there was one point where something broke on one of the drum sets. And so to kill time, James is just sitting there with his guitar and starts playing Smoke on the Water.
Oh, nice.
It was really cool.
Well, all right, here's a dumb question. How did they come out?
So they came out through the visitor's tunnel and like high-fived the fans and stuff on the floor. They didn't put a lot of times at Garth or whatever it shows there, they'll bring a tunnel out.
Yeah.
They didn't do that. It was really cool.
They just walked out like regular dudes.
Yeah. They had security. I mean, they had it roped off, but I mean, it was cool.
Walked out. That's cool.
Yeah. But they came out of where the visitors come out.
Oh, that's nice then. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did they have them backstage? When U2 came, they showed them like backstage coming out.
Yeah.
Walking down like the backstage and everything on the Jumbotron, but none of that.
No. So it was kind of a simple set, which I like that. But they had probably like 10 small trons that were round that were on just surrounding the stage up top, and they would show them, but then they'd show like graphics and stuff. And what was cool is they did a song from their first album, and what they would put up there was ticket stubs from all the times they've played Nashville. So there was Municipal, there was Somme Center, there was Gaylord Entertainment Center. Like, it was all the ticket stubs from every time they've played Nashville over the years. So that was pretty tight. I laughed, too, because a lot of the color scheme was Predators, not Titans.
Really?
Yeah.
God, you said the Somme Center. I haven't heard that word in
I know.
Forever.
I know. So, really good show. If you're going tomorrow night, you're in for a treat. And Limp Bizkit going to be the opener as well. So
Pantera was just last night.
Pantera was last night. Limp Bizkit is tomorrow.
Okay,
which I'm pumped about. I mean, like my age, that's my wheelhouse.
Well, good. Ian,
did you rock out to some Limp Bizkit back in the day?
In high school, yeah. I have to admit. Yeah, I remember driving around my parents' Nissan Altima blasting Limp Bizkit CD.
when that riff for Break Stuff hits, I'm gonna lose my mind.
How I'm going to ask you 1,000 questions.
Go ahead, yeah.
Lars Ulrich, I mean, that's pretty badass. Oh, yeah. Right?
Well, I told Katie, I'm like, you're going to see one of the best drummers in the world in Lars Ulrich. I mean, he's crazy, but he's awesome.
He, somebody out there, he's related to or His uncle is a famous tennis player, and I can't pull it up right now.
I don't know.
He's a famous – because he was going to be a tennis player, and he got injured and didn't do it.
I think it was cool, too, that they played a song, and Metallica fans, you'll have to help me of the significance to this, but they played a song in the middle of the set called Orion and dedicated that to Cliff Burton, who was, you know, their bandmate that died back in the 80s, the bus crash.
Yeah. Only he – I mean, that's – creepy too, yeah, man.
But they honored him, so I thought that was pretty cool. But definitely a good show. So our question of the day, we will talk some sports, but our question of the day is, when you go to a concert, do you listen to that artist, to that band, on the way to the concert? 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll have some fun with that throughout the show. And then who knows what else we have coming today. There's something that might happen. We just got to make sure that it's all locked up.
Right.
So we're
I'm with you, man. I'm following the lead.
It's down to the wire. That's how it is. But we'll get some of your answers to our question of the day coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Friday. A little Metallica, For Whom the Bell Tolls. Our question of the day, when you go to a concert, do you listen to that band or artist on the way to the show? 615-737-1025. I say yes. Joe says no. Dr. Crane's kind of indifferent.
I'll say no.
Okay, he's going no. Devin and Dixon, I think it's almost a must you listen to who you're going to see in concert on your way to the show. Absolute must.
All right. That's an absolute must then. I say no.
Let's see. Joey and Bellevue's just commenting on when Rob played in the middle of the snake pit. That was awesome. Apparently a few of our listeners were there and saw me, so you come say hi next time for sure. Corey says, do I listen to artists' music on the way to the show? No way. 102.5 is always playing for me. LOL.
Yeah.
You're not going to win anything today, but thank you. let's see. Can't read that. Can't wait for tomorrow night. Love Limp Bizkit. Let's go. Appreciate the heads up. That's from B-Man. 8881 disagrees with me. Y'all are trolling. Lars is not a good drummer. He's serviceable, but absolutely carried by Hetfield.
Yeah. I'm not cool enough to... They call him Hat, but yeah, I get all that.
I guess.
I don't know music, but I
think Lars is a pretty good drummer.
Yeah, right?
Let's see. Nevada Josh, I am so pumped for tomorrow. I'll be there too, and of course we will be listening to Metallica all the way from Woodlawn to Nissan Stadium.
Hey, who was it was going to beat up the Limp Bizkit guy in a song? Fred Durst? Who was it? Limp Bizkit. He was going to fight him. Eminem. That was him. Yeah. Yeah. Did they ever fight?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. Chris in Nashville says hard no on what? You don't listen to the
to the band. Yeah. No.
Okay.
Me neither. Did you listen to Metallica, you said, on the way there?
Yeah. Okay. And Pantera. Joey from Bellevue says I was listening to Jared on the way to the concert. That's loud too.
That's really is loud.
Some might call it loud and obnoxious.
Oh yes, man.
For sure a must though. Maybe not the set list, but for sure the catalog. Yeah, I didn't listen to a set list. I put it on shuffle and just listened to
Let It Go.
Let It Go. I listened to a lot of old, like Kill 'Em All, For Justice for All, like some of the old albums.
What time did the show end?
About 11.
Okay.
Curfew.
Take you back. Take a while to get back to the hotel and.
No.
Car and everything?
No.
Easy?
No, it was quick.
Okay.
It was quick. I mean, I'm gonna be honest with you. During the last song, there is a long solo. And when the solo started, I was like, all right, let's go. Let's dip out. We've got a head start. I'm old now.
You're like okay. The Music City Miracle. You get out of there, man.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen the solo, like, you know, and I knew she didn't care. So I was like, all right, let's go.
All right.
Yeah.
Proud of you. That's a little haul there from the stadium.
Yeah,
no,
it was good. Got my
Army.
Steps in last night. Yeah. Got my steps in.
Wait, how many? Where were your seats? Were you on the floor or in the stands?
No, we were at a club level.
Okay. Oh, that's even better.
Yeah. Okay. Not bad. They were great. Yeah, they were great. So, let's see. I will skip the ones I know and listen to the ones I'm not familiar with.
Okay. I can see
that's
that.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Al says, no way I listen to the music before the show. That would be like eating a juicy steak before going to dinner at Kane Prime, I think is what he means.
Yeah, that's fancy.
Yeah.
Do all that. But no, I don't listen. Dr. Crane is indifferent. And I know Ian listened to the Wiggles when he went and saw them at the Ryman.
Who?
The Wiggles.
Oh, the Wiggles.
Look at Ian. It's an Australian kids group that just...
Sorry, I'm...
Gets on every nerve.
Communicating with the agent for our potential...
That's fine, 10 brother.
O'clock guest.
Don't worry about it.
Probably isn't going to happen, but okay. We'll see.
If that's I may right. add to this conversation with the music thing,
sure.
For me, I'm going to use Luke Combs as an example again. He has a lot of off the beaten path tracks on a lot of his older albums, that is.
We call those deep cuts.
Yes, the deep cuts. I would listen to those because I know they will not be performed at the concert.
Yeah.
So I'll do that.
That's fair.
But as for music,
I like
that. Played,
I could see that. I'll give you that for that. Yeah,
I think it's fair.
Okay, so here's a secondary question to our question. If you go to a show, like there, say there's a song like that that's popular, but not necessarily mainstream, so it's 50-50 if they're going to play it or not. Does it ruin the show for you if they don't play it? Like if it's your favorite song?
Yes. Ruin's a tough word. Disappointed, I'll take that.
Yeah. I think that's kind of how I am. It's like kind of I know going in I'm probably not going to hear it, right. But
now,
it's like
so. Let me ask you this: off the question of do you listen to the band, do you go there? We went and saw Sammy Hagar, me, you, Ricky, and Hair Metal Henry, and you guys pulled up the set list. I never pull up the set list. I don't want to know what's coming next.
So, I used to be that way, and now that I know I can do it, I can't.
Why do you do it?
I don't know. I don't know. It's like using a cheat code on a video game back in the day. It's just right. Like, you know, you just, I don't know. But yeah, I do. I do it.
I've never done it. I've never done it. That night at when you guys pulled out the Sammy Hagar list, I didn't want to see it.
Well, I did that because I wanted to see if he was going to be more, if it was going to be more Sammy Hagar, if it was going to be more Van Halen, and it was mainly just Van Halen.
Right.
I mean, he did some of his single stuff, but like, that was okay. So there's a prime example. I think it's "Your Love Is Driving Me Crazy" is one of my favorite Sammy Hagar songs, and he didn't do that, but he did a lot of Van Halen, including some DLR Van Halen. So
right. Yeah,
I mean that was cool, and that's the closest thing I'm ever going to get to seeing Van Halen.
True.
So,
yeah, I've never done it. I something about the excitement. Like, what's next? What's next? And then you hear that, like, oh, yeah, and you get all that. To me, it still goes back to when I was 15 years old. Like, I'd like to be surprised
sure.
by that. I
don't but see, when you were – here's also the big difference, too, and this is one of my gripes. When you were 15 years old and you went and saw Metallica, they play – you know, you see them here Saturday night in Nashville. The set list that they had, you know, 2 days later in Atlanta is going to be different. Because they used to just do that. Like, they'd sit there and, like, all right, what do we want to do tonight, boys? Like, you know, stuff like that. Now it's so scripted, and it's not just them. I mean, it's every, you know, every tour is, like, because all the lights have to be right.
Right.
Like, it's a production.
Yeah.
It used to be just like, all right, what's next? You know? And that's just that doesn't happen anymore.
Okay. I'm just not going to do it. I like
Hair Metal Henry is... Says set list knowledge is a way to beat the traffic. He's not wrong.
He's not wrong at all. No.
Al says, keep it clean, Big Joe. We don't want to hear you say Wiggles in any context. Ha.
Well, that's what I get for Ian for going to see the Wiggles at the Ryman.
Taylor says, Kyler Murray doesn't listen to songs by the artists he's about to see. He also doesn't watch film on the team he's about to play.
But he does watch the Wiggles because he's a tiny guy.
You're obsessed with the Wiggles today. Let's go to the phone. 615-737-1025. Wes wants to weigh in on our question of the day. Wes, what's up?
What's up, guys? Happy Friday. I have a story, but I think it kind of fits in with this theme here. But I absolutely listen to the music. I don't know what it is. I'm just a music guy. So if I'm going to see somebody, I'm just gonna relish in their music until I get there. And then when I get there, get to see it live. Like, it's just it's something that I do. But this is kind of a different aspect of it. So not too long ago, I won a couple of Preds tickets for the very last Preds game, and I decided I was going to take my daughter to the first Preds game. She had no idea what we were doing. She's 10 years old. She doesn't even really know what a goal is, you know. So she's I'm trying to teach her little things here and there. And I kept her on the edge of her seat. She had no idea, but she knows when we're getting close to downtown where we're at. And she starts picking up on stuff. And I said, look, I'm going to play a song for you. And I want you to listen to this song because you're going to need to know the words to it. And I don't listen to country music. So I cut I Like It, I Love It on. She listened to it, and the song was over, and she said, Dad, why did you play that song? And I said, did you not like it? Did you not love it? She said, no, I don't even want any more of it. And I said, okay. Well, we go flash forward an hour later. The Preds go down. They're losing the last game of the season by a point, by a goal. And the Preds somehow come back, and they score a goal. I turn around. My kid's standing up with three foam fingers and a painted face screaming the lyrics to this song. And at that point, I was like, yeah, I made the right choice on the way here. So I just had to share that with you guys. I thought that was a really cool memory that I have with my kids. So.
Thank you, Wes. That's awesome. Appreciate it. That's a good one.
It is.
She's hooked now.
She is hooked for life. Generational fan, man.
615-737-1025. We will continue to get to the question of the day as we go along on this fine show. But coming up next, Chris Sanders, Forever Titans wide receiver. We'll ask him this question and probably some Titans things too. That's an interesting question on Good Morning Football. Buying or keep trying? Titans will be this year's Commanders. We'll discuss that and much more with Chris. Coming up next, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on this Friday. Our buddy Ricky, I don't know who came up with this, but somebody did a Titans media depth chart that has all members of the Titans media on it, and I'm listed as the punter, so I need to talk to Brett Kern on some punting tips. That's love fantastic. It. Jim Wyatt is the quarterback. I think we will all agree Jimmy's our quarterback.
I like it.
We'll go with that. Let's bring in Forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders, who's online with us. Yeah, how do you feel about me as a punter?
Champ, no. Obviously, you're an offensive guard or center. I think you'll be pretty good at center, but as a punter, nah, man. See, I don't know if you can lift your leg up that high.
No, I can't. That's 100% true. But it was funny back in the day, because I was obviously a big kid, the coaches were like, will you please come play football? And they told me, we'll put you at right tackle. I'm like, I don't want to be a right tackle. I want to be a wide receiver like Chris Sanders. But
could you play wide receiver right now? Could you run the route tree right
Chris,
now?
Chris. Come on.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You know the answer to that question. The answer is no. I'd be like, what's an out route? What's a hitch?
What? What's a seam? What?
The question is, could you play wide receiver right now? And I'd say the answer is yes.
No. Uh-uh.
As long as it's two-hand touch, right?
Not even two-hand touch. It's funny because I walked up the stairs the other day and my knee swelled up. I'm like, what am I doing? I didn't even run a route. It just swelled up. My baby was like, why is your knee swelled? I'm like, I don't know. That's how bad I am right now.
So the Titans introduced Tyler Lockett the other day, and I know Brian Callahan had a lot of good things to say about him. And I don't want to get too excited about a veteran, wide receiver coming in here because we've seen that a lot over the years with this team. But I do love the idea of him because you got a young receiving core to go with Ridley. Mm-hmm. You've drafted a couple guys, and you have a rookie quarterback. I feel like this might turn out to be a pretty brilliant move by the Titans, no matter what the production is, but just to have him in the room.
Yeah, I mean, just experience. And I watched him over the years. I mean, and I love what he does. The one thing that he does well is he can run every route tree. He can play inside. He can play outside. He can do things to help a young quarterback. But here's the thing that's really going to help Cam Ward is with Tyler Lockett is going to really communicate on what he wants him to do. Like just say if they run a seam or he runs a little curl, he knows exactly how to communicate to the quarterback on where to place the ball to make him feel comfortable, to understand, breakdown coverages and things like that. It's kind of like just say if they were in a cover two and there was somebody on the slot, you saw the safety kind of go over and he blitzes off the slot. So now you got Tyler Lockett that can go and say, okay, listen, this is what you can look for. When the safety starts to shift over, this is what's going to happen. So now, as opposed to Cam Ward having one set of eyes, he has two sets of eyes with Tyler Lockett being one of those eyes.
Talking to Chris Sanders. You ready,
my
baby?
Guy.
Here we go.
Let's go. Joy.
Oh, I like this.
Joy.
joy.
You know what it is? It's joy and pain,
and
baby.
Pain. Joy and pain.
Here it comes.
Rob Bass.
Yeah, Rob Bass.
Yeah. Here we go. Here we go. Joy. No, it ain't going to come with the thing yet.
Yeah.
Oh, there it is. Oh, yeah. Pain.
Sunshine.
Sunshine. And rain. Come on, guys. That's beautiful.
I love it.
So good.
All right. So good. Let me ask you this. Sure. Right now, Chase and I count, there's like 19 wide receivers on the Titans.
100.
So, you know, there's a guy like Colton Dow, 7th-round draft choice last year. I mean, he was great at UT Martin. Does a guy like Colton Dow have a chance?
I mean, it all depends on what he brings to the table. Everybody knows he can play a little bit of wide receiver, but you got to play special teams. But there's so many guys in this receiver room. You got Van Jefferson, you got, you know, Oliver Bryce, all a whole bunch of guys. But what's going to separate, you know, Colton Dowell from making the team is he's got to play special teams. He's got to do more things just than playing wide receiver. Because I remember in 1999. We had a lot of receivers. We had me. We had Kevin Dyson, Derek Mason, you know, Isaac Bird, you know, Yancey Thigpen. We had a lot of guys that can play. And we actually kept 7 on that roster because we had so many good guys. So what Colton Dowell has to do, he has to make the coaches, you know, make it be a hard decision, because at the end of the day, if you don't show up on the field and you don't make plays or be on special teams, you're going to find yourself out of here. So he has to keep showing up on film.
All those receivers, and still Frank Wycheck led the team in receptions.
I know. I got like a ball every other game. You know?
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. When Jerry Rice came out of Mississippi Valley State in 1985, he ran a 4.65 40, according to reports. And like, oh, if that happened today, you'd be like, oh, my goodness. Xavier Restrepo, how do you say his name?
Restrepo.
Restrepo, thank you. Restrepo.
All right, ran a 4.85, but I looked at him, Chris, all of his tape. That dude knows how to get open.
Thank you. No. Please say that again.
He knows how to get open.
Yeah. He knows how to get open.
Right.
Let me break this down. But that's what it's all about, because if you have, and I'm going to say this in a respectful way, Calico, Tyrone Calico, guy can run a 4.3, 4.2, but he couldn't understand how to arouse. Let me break this down to the listeners of, it's not just about running a 4.3, it's about understanding how to get open. Look at Julian Edelman. He got drafted in the 7th round, 4.52. Then you got Danny Amendola, not drafted, ran a 4.58. And then you have Wes Welker, one of the best receivers to come out of the Patriots, ran a 4.65 undrafted. But here's the quality that those guys have and Restrepo have. Number one, they move the chains. Number two, they're Mr. Reliable. Number three, they're the best route runners. It's about creating a separation. It's about getting a guy off the spot. It's about lying with your eyes. It's about bursting off the cut, coming back to the ball. It's the little things, because if I'm just a fast guy, but I don't have a plan at the line of scrimmage, I don't have a plan in my second phase of the route, and then I don't have a plan at the top of the route, I'm just a fast guy. Those guys that I just named, and Xavier, whatever his name is. Thank you so much. They have a plan. And that's why one of the best receivers that I've ever been around, number one was Webster Slaughter, and another one was Derek Mason. The reason why they were so good is Derek Mason at the line of scrimmage was a freaking dog. His acceleration point in his route and what he did at the top of route created the separation. So it's not about speed. It's about having a game plan and running routes.
I love it. I just think watching him, the way he gets open, his acceleration, and they got him here. And, look, he's going to come in with a chip on his shoulder. He's pissed off. I think it's great.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. You got a quarterback you just drafted, Cam Ward. So now if he gets in trouble in practice and can't see some things, now you got a guy that he's familiar with, Restrepo. So that's just made your quarterback feel more comfortable and bringing in a guy that he's familiar with, that even if he gets in a little trouble, he can go to the security blanket with Xavier Restrepo.
I'm just glad that you guys have brought him up because – you know, and I know Jared's on his way to Atlanta because he's doing his show there today. But but like, just dismissing a guy because he's undrafted, absolutely, which is exactly what Jared did, is like just the dumbest thing on the face of this earth. I mean, you got two guys in the 4th round. I mean, 4th round is a kind of a coin flip. But I think so is an undrafted guy that clearly had production in college. And just because you ran a 4.8 at the combine, let me see it on the field.
You said something profound, Chase. You said production. You know, you may get a lot of fast guys, but don't produce. You may get a fast guy that catches – 12 balls for 100-something yards. But then you got Restrepo that catches 70 balls for 800 yards. That means he gets open. And I'm glad you said that because it just ticks me off because I coach at Montgomery Bell Academy, and a lot of the receivers that I coach are – I mean, a lot of receivers that I coach are like 5'4", 4'7", 4'8", but they create separation. So a lot of colleges don't look at them because they're not fast, but they're creating separation. They're getting open. They're getting in the right spot. They get a feel of what the quarterback's doing. And I just get so mad that you already qualify a guy that runs 4.3. Oh, he's great, but can't run routes. But then you got a guy that's consistent and this kind of diss him. I just think it's very unfair.
I would agree with you on that.
No, the whole thing is, and I go back and be like, well, somebody's like, well, Jerry Rice was Jerry Rice. Yeah, I know that. But man, in today's game, all we talk about, hey, a 4.6, 4.7, yeah. He's not getting – I just think sometimes, yeah. As we've – you know this
well. I mean, isn't sub-5 good?
No, like, come on. Five, he needs to come over and sit over on the sidelines with me.
Yeah, know? Right. I mean, you can see when there's a 4.4 versus a 4.8, you can tell. But I know this, but the same thing is, you know, a guy comes out today, it's like, wow, 4.6, he's not going to get the job done. But you know this, Chris. See, there is 40 speed and there's football speed.
Coach, say that again. Yeah. Coach, please say that again. What did you just say? Please say it again.
There's football speed and there's 40 speed.
Thank you so much. Come on, Coach, I love you. That's beautiful. Because here's the thing is we have a lot of guys that run 4.3 and a 40 but play 4.8. You got Jerry Rice. You got Jerry Rice that ran 4.7, but he played 4.7. He get out of his cut at 4.7. And you got receivers that run at 4.3, but they get out of their cut at 5 flat. So that's the difference. It's about carrying your speed through the cut. It's about carrying your speed when you run a corner route. It's carrying your speed when you burst at the top of the route. Because there's a lot of guys that run straight line but can't get out of their cut full speed. And that's why I like Restrepo, because he can do those things at 4.8.
I go back. I love Dan Marino. When he had Clayton and Duper on his team, and I remember an interview a long time ago, they're like, we run to where the ball's going, right? And so Dan knows where we are. We run to where the ball's going. Yep. I was like, you know, not where we were, not what's happening, but where the ball's going. And they understood the routes. A lot of receivers don't understand the routes now.
Dude, your new name is Coach. You said some good things. No, I mean, seriously, you said some good things. They understand the route. They got to understand whatever coverage I have, how do I run the route accordingly? Because if it's like this, my rookie season, I got a lot of press coverage. And I would just beat them off the line of scrimmage, touchdown. But then the second year, they're like, okay, we know who you are. So they put a safety over top. They started to bracket me. So now I had to understand how to run routes against that. So, you know, what helped me get to where I need to be was Les Steckel. He taught me how to burst off the cut. He taught me if I got brackets coverage to not run the route off the guy behind me on the top of the guy. If it's cover three, how to do the things to be cover three. So if I'm just a fast guy, I'm just a fast guy. I want to be a complete receiver and running the route tree.
Chris, I want to ask you this question because, you know, we joke when we talk about 1999, but our owner Bud Walters went to an event yesterday, and Burke Nihil, the president of the Titans, was there and was talking about, you know, the kind of the new stadium and the new team and the new look, and he made a comment, and I'm hearing this secondhand, so I may be paraphrasing, but he basically said when the Titans first got here, we had our heroes. There were our heroes on this team, and that's what, you know, they eventually want to try and get back to with this new team. And you think about that, Chris. I mean, whether it was you or Steve or Eddie, or, you know, Derek later on, Frank. I mean, those were household names that we all knew. And they really haven't had that for a while outside of a few exceptions. Derek Henry obviously being one of those. But, like, true heroes, how do they get back to that point with this team? Or is it just too much of a different time?
It's got to start with your quarterback. And I think that when you have more Warren Moon passing the torch to Cam Ward, I think that's a start. You know, when you talk about heroes in 1999, it wasn't just the heroes that were up front. It was the heroes behind the scene, like a Brad Hopkins, like a Bruce Matthews, like a Benji Ocean. You know, Olsen, you had guys like that that wasn't always in the press but was willing to do the dirty work. And then you had Lord have mercy. Then you have a receiving core that was unselfish. You had, we had Yancey Dickman, but then you had a Kevin Dyson. Then you have a Derek Mason, who I have so much respect for. That was the sixth receiver at the time. He was in the rotation, but he was the sixth receiver at the time to where, you know what, it ain't about just being the hero. It's been a hero at the moment. And he, listen, and he became a hero in 1999, the AFC Championship game, where he was just kind of just chilling a little bit. All of a sudden, he makes one of the biggest plays in franchise history, is making a punt return in the AFC Championship game. Hero. So when you get back to that aspect, you got to get guys that have the same vision, the same heart, that just what? That just love football and don't care about the accolades. That's what a hero is.
You mentioned that love football. I found it very interesting that a lot of teams after the draft were talking about that they took guys off their board because of lack of love of football. And in this NIL transfer portal era,
it's awful.
I think they have to do that more, and it's pretty crazy to see.
Yeah, you got to get guys that love football, because listen, there's nothing wrong with having nice things, but if your focus is the nice things, then you're going to start working. I remember maybe about 10 years ago, I did a speaking engagement with Chris Hope. He said this, and this made the back of my hair stand up. He said, "Why would I work all my life to get to the NFL and stop working?"
Yeah.
I mean, but that's what guys do. Oh, I made it. You know, I got the Lamborghini, which is great. I want a Lamborghini, but I want to be known as a guy who loves football. Just love football, and that's, we got to get back to that situation.
They should have given you that Buick you jumped over in Riverfront Stadium.
No, you scored a touchdown. That was a Yugo.
Real quick, Chris, Wes in Hermitage checks in. He said, "I would put all the money in my savings to bet that Chris Sanders would have a better season in production in 2025 than Treylon Burks," and you can stamp that.
I'm with Wes.
First of all, I get hurt walking to the stadium because my knee swelled up just going up the stairs, so I wouldn't make it to practice.
I know we get the break. One more question. I mean,
sure.
Do you feel bad for Burks? I mean, you're a receiver. You've been in that room. You played in the NFL.
You know, I've been in that situation, so I would love to sit and talk to one day. I've been in that situation to where you felt like you're the underdog. They brought Dyson in, they brought Yancey Thigpen, and you felt alone. You felt like, you know, I can't do this. But here's what Treylon Burks can do. He's got two choices: to get better or get bitter. And I think that if you get better, you say, you know what, regardless of what happened in the past, I still can write my story. I can write my book. I can do some great things regardless of how my story started. Same thing with Derek Mason. Derek Mason's story didn't start off happy, but now he's about to be inducted into the Tennessee Hall of Fame. That's how you that's how you rewrite your story. You don't write your story of just sitting there, "Oh, woe is me." You write your story. Say, you know what, even though I'm crying, even though I'm hurting, even though it's painful, I'm going to write my story. And guess what? My story is going to be beautiful at the end, even though it didn't start good at first.
Amen to that. Chris, always enjoy these conversations, my man. Have a good weekend.
Hey, love you, brother. Thank you,
love you,
man.
Too. Chris Sanders, Forever Titans wide receiver, joining us here on the program. I want to get into that and kind of get your thoughts on the heroes thing, because – when Bud told me about that yesterday, I was like, man, that's a really good discussion to have, because I don't think they have that right now. And I don't mean that in a negative way, but it's, how can they get back to the way we felt? And maybe it was just because it was new, we had never had it before. But I think there's something to that. 615-737-1025. Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, and we are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Sounds continue their series against Gwinnett. Pregame at 5:50, first pitch 6:05. Sounds Baseball, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Chasing Big Joe here on this Friday, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. The heroes question. And again, this stems from our owner, Bud, went to an event yesterday. Burke Nihil was speaking and basically was talking about when the Titans first got here, they had heroes and they were trying to build this team, this roster, into that again. I think, you know, Derrick Henry could have fallen into that category, but honestly, I mean, he might have been the only one, really.
To me, hero is not Eddie George or Steve McNair. You don't hate me for this, but I'm taking it a different way.
Okay.
Hero is the men and women in the police car every day. You know what I'm saying? I don't look at these guys as heroes. I know that's just the way I look at things now, right?
Okay. I mean, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
And I agree. But, like, to a kid.
Yes.
And that's kind of where this stems from. To a kid, like,
role
when
models.
I was a kid, you know, Eddie George, like he's a hero, like he's heroic, like, you know, you kind of look at him like that. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, so I don't use the word hero for that, but I use the word important.
Right.
You know, and Eddie was important. Steve was important. I mean, those guys were important when they first came here because, my God, they put the city on their back, and look at what they did. They put the Nashville to a whole different level. I think those days are gone, Chase, because I don't think athletes really care that much about being like that. You're not going to find an Eddie or Steve anymore.
I think some do. And I know it's way, 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 way too early to tell. But based on some of the things I've heard this kid Cam Ward say, I feel like he does care. Like there is – because like Joey from Gallatin, Texas, that – you know, Shador was like, hey, we should do a song together. And Cam's like, yeah, dude, I'm here to play football. I only care about football. And so I'm just saying that when you say, like, and you're right, a lot of athletes today don't really care because it's all about them.
Right.
I don't think that's the case with him right now today.
It's just very hard now because you look at these guys and you deal with them. You realize a lot of them don't care. But then you find the ones – we bang on Jeff Simmons all the time here, but that charity that Jeff Simmons has off the field,
sure,
does some amazing work.
Yes, he has done a great job.
I look up
that.
To that dude. Yep. I mean, I look up to him, what he's done on and off the field. I think that's the thing. What are they doing on and off the field? And right now, they're on the field is not so much.
Jeff Simmons is a great example of this because I think a lot of people like him and, you know, kind of look up to him. He could be that hero type with what he does from a charitable standpoint, how he plays on the field. His biggest problem is he lets some of the negative stuff get to him too much.
Sure.
And if I could give him any piece of advice, and look, do as I say, not as I do, because right? I let it get to me too. Like, just log off, man, because your play, who you are as a human, what you've done with your career – off the field should speak for itself because, like, he's a good freaking dude.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not going to – and I'm – you know, I'm just
– So let me ask you this. What did Steve and Eddie and Frank and Chris, what all of them have in common? They won.
Yeah.
And that's why we were endeared to them. If they started out the first 4 or 5 years and been 3-13, 5-11, but they came in – and you're right. You're a different generation than I am.
Sure.
So I didn't have pro football growing up. I didn't.
Yeah.
You guys are lucky. You don't remember a time when there wasn't pro football here, which is great.
Well, I do, but.
Which is great. Yeah. No, it's nothing wrong with it. So you remember, I get the hero thing with those guys.
They're
larger than life.
I think for me, that moment, like with McNair, when I was just like, this guy's Superman, was that play in the Super Bowl where Kevin Carter is all over him. He should have been sacked 8 times and got out of it. Like, like I will never, that will be embedded in my mind for the rest of my life of just that guy getting out of that.
It's the don't quit. Don't quit.
Real quick, let's go to the phone line real quick. Clay's been waiting very patiently. Hello, Clay. Oh, I guess he's not there. He got impatient with us. That's okay.
How dare him?
He hung up. Dr. Crane was back there like, what is he? No, he's gone. He's dead. Oh, my God.
He's gone.
I've told Clay there's a time to call. It's in the 10 o'clock yard. He knows what time it is.
Exactly. Right. That's okay. Coming up next, Brian Callahan spoke to the media yesterday. There's a little funny story behind that with Joe and I. We'll tell. We will hear what he had to say about the quarterback competition. We'll talk about that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe on this Friday, and join Big Joe tomorrow from 10 to noon. Coleman Tractor of Nashville for Kubota Orange Days. Exclusive deals on compact tractors, zero turns, and more with special financing available. That sale runs from 9 to 2 with demos, deals, giveaways, and lunch from 11 to 1. You know he'll be there for that. That's at Coleman Tractor of Nashville, located at 7221 Whites Creek Pike in Jolton tomorrow.